What happens when you combine a Kansas football legend with a 20-something loudmouth? The best dang sports talk show in the area. Rock Chalk Sports Talk has a new guest host, and his name is David Lawrence. Catch DL and Nick Schwert every Monday from 4 to 6 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
The 5 o'clock hour is here. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN with David Lawrence. I am Nick Schwert. Give me a call right now, 785-843-1321. If you want some free food courtesy of Zaxby's, 785-843-1321 is the phone number. To the third caller who rings us up, we will give you a free Zaxby's gift certificate. Zaxby's, located off 6th and Wakarusa in front of Theater Lawrence in the Bauer Farm area. Every single item is made to order. It's not sitting back there in a heater. They're not just pulling it off and handing it to you. No. All made fresh, specializes in more than just chicken fingers, which is what they're known for, but they've got so much more. They've got wings. They've got salads, which is what we had today. The Cobb salad, delicious for lunch. The salads are fresh cut every day, built to order. The chicken wings and the fingers have 8 different tossing sauces and 5 different dipping sauces. So 785-843-1321 is the phone number. David Lawrence in studio with me right now. David, we got to do our weekly positional breakdowns. Last week, I think we even took a hiatus from the positional breakdowns. We only had about 7 guests we were trying to work onto the show.
We did.
But that's okay. So we're going to get back at it today. We've got plenty of summer anyways. So we're going to go defensive line, but it is my understanding we're going to be hyper-focused on the interior of the D-line.
We're going to move inside. People are excited about outside. We'll talk about those next week. Dorrance Armstrong and is kind of the highlighted guest right there. But you got to have the push inside. And, you know, one of my favorite Jayhawks to cover since I've been doing radio, James McClinton, is always the name that comes and the face that comes to mind when I talk about what you can do with a great inside push. It makes everyone better. And, of course, if you get the great inside push and you have the good or the great outside rush, then you've got a defensive line that literally is going to dictate what the other teams can choose to do and what they can't do. But Daniel Wise, who is now a junior out of Lewisville, Texas, a 6'3", 290-pound junior, he'll be vying for first team or at least all conference honors at the end of the year, and got a great personality, a lot like James McClinton. I've talked to Daniel about James a lot. Not different that much in size at all. And he does have that great push. What he has, maybe more so, I don't know he has quite the push inside of James, but he is more athletic. And he can make people miss. He can recover. He's got great feet. He's like a great athlete that plays inside amongst the behemoths. He can get off blocks better than anyone that we've had in at least a decade, and he has a chance to be very, very special. With him is a number of seniors, and of course that's why Kansas is recruiting so many defensive tackles right now, and who knows, Daniel Wise will be eligible for the draft, so we could lose him. D'Isaac Davis, originally out of Wichita, a 6'3", 300-pound senior, he's a guy that has a chance, and I know he's been working really hard. He's very strong. He doesn't get pushed around, and I see him getting off blocks even better and better and making plays at the line of scrimmage. The other guy who was pretty highly touted coming here, very quiet. I think he wasn't in shape, but he is playing better. Isi Holani, 6'3", 325-pound senior from the islands in Hawaii, and it's really important for Isi to step up and have a big year. You have to have at least 4 talented inside defensive linemen healthy every game because you always sub people in. No one plays every snap on the defensive line. You always sub in. J.J. Holmes was the best junior college inside tackle in the Jayhawk League. Of course, it's known to be one of the best junior college divisions or leagues in the United States. J.J. Holmes is out of Hutch Community College. He originally is from the state of Florida. His film is fantastic. I didn't see a lot of great things from J.J. Holmes in the spring, but I don't think he was really acclimated since coming at semester. But I expect him to be able to provide some valuable minutes as well, coming in for EC and Daniel and D. Isaac. So very important, Kansas, to get that pressure up front. If they can be as good inside as they are outside, then maybe the weakness of the team, the corner position, could not even be noticed, perhaps, at times, because quarterbacks will have to get the ball out of their hands so quickly. And I think this defensive line, inside and outside, when you put them together, can be one of the top three in the league. And that's pretty special. We haven't said that about any position group at the University of Kansas in the past 8 years. So I look forward to seeing a very talented inside defensive tackles. One's called a nose, one's called a nose guard. They're essentially playing very similar positions to be a very talented up front group. They need to have people like Holmes come through so they have the depth. We know we have Wise. Of course, we want to keep Daniel Wise healthy. That'll be so important. Daniel's also a very good leader. He's one of the absolute leaders on this team. So he is very valuable to Kansas. So I think overall, this is one of the strongest position groups, highlighted by Daniel Wise in the middle.
Now, Daniel Wise was a guy, and we only have a couple minutes before we get to talk to Mike Grossner, who's going to be joining us, the head coach of Baker here in just a couple of minutes. But before, I would say the first month of the season, maybe the first 5-6 weeks of the season, like, I looked at him and thought that he was the star of that defense. It was before, because Dorrance Armstrong was great, but he didn't start really piling up those sack numbers till about halfway through the season, which is when he kind of burst onto the scene. But early on last year, for me at least, Daniel Wise was that guy. I thought he was just outstanding. Did he quiet down in the second half of the season, or was it more of Dorrance Armstrong just kind of stole the headlines and the attention?
That's a great question and a good observation. I'm glad you're doing more than just playing on your phone when
Thanks,
you're working
man.
Up in the booth and pulling out very valuable stats for me. You're right. I believe that he was nicked. We don't get information about that. And by nicked, I'm saying nicked to a lot of us would be hurt, you know,
right.
Maybe bad. But he continued to play, and I don't know that. That's my guess, because you're right. His play did go down a little bit when we got into the meat of the Big 12 season, and that usually means he got nicked up a little bit. So I think he's tough, and I believe he's going to be fully recovered when we start the year, and that's why I want to keep this guy healthy.
Now, how does a guy like – because we talk about this with the Chiefs all the time, but in the Jayhawks defensive scheme, how intertwined is Daniel Wise at that tackle or at that interior position? How involved is he with helping Dorrance Armstrong rack up those gaudy sack numbers and those gaudy tackles for loss numbers like he did last year?
Well, anytime you have someone who is dominating the line of scrimmage, you have to spend someone else to help block them, you know, a running back, in Daniel's case, maybe it's a center and a defensive lineman. And so if Daniel is playing full speed, you can bet that we're going to be able to get some sacks from a linebacker who's going to be coming up the middle in some type of a stunt, because he's going to go free because there's going to be a center that is checking Daniel Wise and he's not checking, you know, that Mike backer position that's going to be coming up the middle. So anytime that you dominate, you get teams to cheat and favor you to make sure that they can't hurt you, thus opening up for everyone else. And we know that we have Dorrance Armstrong on the outside, and he's going to be demanding some extra people blocking him. So there's going to be other people around those two if they're both playing full speed. And the linebackers is one of them, or, you know, I think that's really important that someone like Josh Ihombe or whoever else, Kellen Ash on the outside, Micaiah Long, you know, that they be able to come off and be solid too, because as our next guest can tell us, it's a team effort. And I can't imagine the enjoyment that he has had coaching the Baker Wildcats, and of course realizing a nearly perfect record last year when he took the Wildcats into the title game with victories over Wilson and Eastern Oregon leading to that title game, and he joins us now. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. How's your summer?
Hey, thanks, David. I don't know if you can call it a summer. You just keep going, you know what I mean? And especially at our level, we're still recruiting a little bit and trying to fill a couple spots and then get this new team ready to go.
Well, I want to talk about the new team, and just forgive me for asking you to go through it. It can't be a bad memory at all, at least until the last game. But what's going to stand out in your mind for the rest of your life about the 2016 Baker team?
Well, obviously, the run we made throughout the year, and any coach will tell you at any level, it's very difficult to go undefeated, let alone get to a national championship and have a chance to play for it all. And a lot of things got to go well and align for you to get to that spot. And I was just so proud of our staff and our kids as the season went along. And, you know, you don't call it pressure, it's fun. But as you get towards the end of the season, you got that undefeated record going. Everybody's giving you their best shot. And we made it through a tough, very tough conference. The Heart of America prepares you for a playoff-type atmosphere because every week's tough. If you don't show up, you're going to get beat. And then you got to re-gear it up. And at our level, you got to go through three opponents and then play for a championship. And for our kids to take on those schools and take on the very best and get an opportunity to play for a national championship was just what you dream for these guys and the hard work they put in year round and the coaching staff. And David, when we took over, I think you were around in 04, and you know, I brought Coach Thorne in my first year, and he's a Lawrence guy, and
absolutely
a KU guy, and Coach Blakesley's been with me for quite a while, and he's on our staff as our D-line coach. So those guys were here when it was real thin. I remember I took over in the spring, and there was a magazine they put out for the NAI, and I think there was about 8 to 10 schools total playing football, and we were ranked 98th at that time. And you know, I kind of looked at it and said, "Yeah, right." And then I figured, yeah, they were pretty close. And so it's been a process. You know, we kept to a plan. We didn't waver. We just kind of had to figure out who fit here. You know, Baldwin City, we're 15 miles south of you, and it's a small town atmosphere. But you guys helped being right there in Lawrence for the kids to be able to get up there and get away from the small town and Kansas City near. So it's a good place to recruit. But we had to get the right fit and the right kid. And a lot of the Lawrence kids have come down here and been, made a big impact for us. And a lot of the Sunflower League kids I've known, noticed through the years when we recruit a kid from that league, and he's a pretty good player. He's ready to play for us.
We're talking to Mike Grosner, the head coach of Baker football, here on New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Mike, Nick Schwert here. Appreciate you joining us today. How quickly did you realize what you had in your backyard, particularly with the type of talent that was coming out of Lawrence?
Well, you know, you recruit a guy to hopefully play pretty early in his career, and I've noticed, like I said, in that Sunflower League, the Lawrence kids, Free State kids, and then around that league with the Olathe schools and the Blue Valleys, and the Shawnee schools, that those kids, if they're making an impact in that league as a senior, they could be ready to help you early as a freshman, especially on special teams. And if you have a high need, you got to play them. So it's been a good recruiting backyard for us. Coach Thorne has this area. You know, he's well known in this area. He was a Simone Award winner, and his name speaks loudly around here, and he's highly respected by the high school coaches. So he's been very crucial in our recruiting efforts around here. And then, You know, I do a lot of the out-of-state recruiting, and I'm from the West Coast, but we'll go to Florida and get some guys as well. And, you know, the big states of Texas and Oklahoma have been nice to us. And then, you know, a real recruiting coup for us has been Missouri, because those kids are considered out-of-state kids for, you know, the Kansas JUCOs. So we've been able to pull really good Missouri kids in here that the Kansas JUCOs might not have gone and taken a chance on. So that's been good. But it's just kind of finding the niche, you know. And Baker University is a very high academic institution. So we've had to learn, you know, when I say fit, they've got to be able to attend class every day and do well and stay with us through the process. So it's been a great run. I've been here 13 years, have enjoyed every minute of it. And, you know, our goal is to win the national championship. And we got real close this past year, and we're going to continue to strive for it.
You've overcome so much there at Baker. You talked about your trials when you came there in 2004, and you've also had to battle. You're a cancer survivor. Can you talk about dealing with that throughout a crazy schedule that you have, and in which you're fighting to do so many things? And I know you got budget concerns and winning football games, but I don't know how you put it all together.
Yeah, it's been quite a four-year run with this past senior class. Within that run, like you said, I had to battle cancer. That was back in 14 that I got diagnosed, about a week before the season, the camp started. And, you know, I kind of used it as a learning tool for the kids and to show them, hey, life doesn't stop. It can happen to anybody. You got to react to it, and it's how you react is how it's going to go. And so, you know, instead of backing off and taking a break, I let them see every minute of it. I was able to go to practice every day and receive my treatment. I had a fantastic job here in Lawrence. You know, when you first hear the diagnosis, you know, you're scared to death, and you wonder where you should start your treatment and get the best that you can. And I made the decision right away to be treated in Lawrence. They did a fantastic job. There's a team of doctors, if anybody's listening and making some of those decisions. I had a team of doctors right there in Lawrence at the hospital that did a fantastic job of working with me. I was able to, you know, of course, drive up 15 minutes every morning. And I was in and out of there before anybody knew it, in the office before anybody got here. And I did that 5 days a week. You know, my Mondays were a little longer. That was chemo day and radiation. So I had to sit and work in the office, the doctor's office there, for about a half a day. But luckily my staff had been with me for quite a while. And, you know, you hear about guys being named the assistant head coach, and you wonder why you name him that. Well, Coach Thorne's my assistant head coach, and he took over and did a lot of the things that I normally do throughout the week. He was able to take care of some things. And then I think the biggest thing, you know, I had throat cancer, and on Saturdays I was able to get IVs and, you know, be the normal coach. And, you know, a coach is going to do some yelling on Saturdays. It was Sunday where I suffered. I would have our team meeting, and there were some late Sundays that season that I couldn't get a word out. And I used hand signals, and Coach was able to speak for me. And then come midweek, I was recovered pretty good, and by game day I was ready to go. And then Sunday I'd pay for it. But we had an undefeated season going that year, and then kind of slipped up late and didn't get it done. But, you know, this senior class, throughout all that and preparing and moving forward, they won 45 football games. And there's not a lot of group of seniors across the country that can say that. So I was very proud of them.
Well, Mike, I see Tom Hedrick about once a week, if not more than that. And every single time I see him, he lets me know all the good things you're doing right down the road and what you guys are capable of on a year-in, year-out basis. So it's great to finally have you on the show, and We wish you nothing but the best in the future. Hopefully we'll talk again soon, maybe later when the season's approaching.
Hey, I appreciate it. Tom Hedrick's one of the best. He's been a great mentor here. You know, he's the voice of the Wildcats now, and he continues to give his energy to this football team and this school, and love the man to death. I appreciate you guys having me on. We have a camp there in Lawrence tomorrow, a team camp at Lawrence High, and then one Thursday at Free State. So hopefully we can find some more great kids and some great football players to help us.
Coach, we appreciate your time, and we will be following with you and following up with you throughout this season. And all the best on the field, and also continue the battle that you're winning with cancer. And, you know, we just think that's awesome.
Okay. Appreciate you guys. And I wish David and the Jayhawks luck. And I know they're getting better. And, you know, I'm excited for what they're putting out there.
Thanks again, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
That is Mike Grossner of Baker. What a cool story.
What a story.
What a good dude.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't imagine all the things that he was dealing with. And
we talk about how stressful and hectic exactly. It is just being a head coach.
Stories like that.
Just being a college football coach. Oh, and you're battling cancer.
And he doesn't have money, you know, to go to. I mean, not that, you know, David Beatty's got a complete, you know, blank check that he can write all the time. But certainly the obstacles that people face at the NAIA level have a lot to do with just the finances of being able to go out and to recruit and to see people and to bring them in.
Right. A cool story. We'll have to catch up with him maybe later on this offseason when the season is approaching. But we got to go from one coach to another. We just talked to Mike Grossner of Baker. Up next, the coach of the Chesty Lions preparing for his final season as the head honcho. Dirk Wedd joins us on the program. With David Lawrence, I'm Nick Schwert. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.